Here we're looking at the place of the law in the life of the believer. And the first place to start, really, is to say that the law, before we become believers, is means by which God causes us to realise we've fallen short, we're sinful. That's when it speaks about the law being the schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. But in the end, all of these things are a matter of the grace of God. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. In this first slide, we have a picture of Jesus lifting Peter out of the water. It's the basic prayer in Scripture, help, Lord. And that's where we're all starting from. We need the grace of God. It's not by works that we're saved, it's through what Jesus has done for us. So our next slide takes us to Romans and chapter 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means, Paul says. That's the basic antinomian position. Anti meaning against, nomos meaning the law, contrary to the law, against the law. We start sins, the argument being is that if we sin and sin more and more, God's grace even shows up even stronger. Well, that's a foolish way to argue, as Paul says. We shall not go on sinning so that grace may increase. Because we are saved, we want to stop sinning. The next slide, Jesus says in John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commands. And what are his commands? Well, he was the one that gave the law in the first place. It's his whole word, and he wants us to live by his teaching. And that's a requirement for believers in Jesus, that we're to go by his rules. Next slide shows us what the objective of the law was, that it's Christ is the culmination of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. The aim of the law is to show us who Jesus is, that we need him, and that he's able to help us and save us. That's what it's about. It produces in us a desire to know Jesus and shows us that he is the one that gives us the righteousness that we could never earn by working. In Romans 14, verse 5 to 7, in the next slide, we see that Jesus, having fulfilled the ceremonial law, that the requirements of obeying that can vary in the sense that different people do different things. Sacrifices are no longer necessary. Jesus has paid the price, and the way we live as people is to be before the Lord. So Paul talks about one person considers one day more sacred than another. Another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord, and whoever eats meat does so to the Lord. So they give thanks to God, and whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. So there's the believer's freedom in grace to be able to seek to please God according to the way that we live. The next slide tells us how God has done that for us. In Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 to 12, we read, this is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel after that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbour or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. This is the new covenant, and basically what God is doing is taking the commands that were written on stone and in the book and transferring them into our hearts. He gives us a new heart in order that we can live for him. We're no longer controlled from the outside, but under his control on the inside. That's where it needs to be done. Our next slide speaks about how living in the love of God and seeking to please him is in fact a means of fulfilling the law. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and whatever other command there may be, are summed up in this one command. Love your neighbour as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbour. Therefore love is the fulfilment of the law. So what the Lord is saying through Romans chapter 13 there is that living in the love of God and living out the love of God means is a way of showing how we fulfill the law. If we love our neighbours, we won't steal his stuff. If we love our neighbour, we won't gossip about him and seek to do him harm. And so that love enables us to do the things that the law requires. Our next slide speaks about how we live that by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Romans 8, 3-4, for what the law was powerless to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in the flesh, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The Holy Spirit living in us enables us to do what the law itself couldn't. It can't make us good, but the Lord works in us to cause us to live in a way that brings honour to him, producing the fruit of the Spirit. Just to remind us also that the teaching about the use of the word law, our tend to understand it in English as meaning the commandments and so on, but the Bible understanding of the word law means teaching. It's the general overall instructions, guidance, encouragements, as well as commands that the Lord gives us. And the Holy Spirit makes those a real living thing in us, so we have power to live. The next slide is a quote from Revelation 14. Then I heard a voice from heaven say, write this, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, they will rest from their labour, for their deeds will follow them. And just to make the point there that what gets there first is us, and that the rewards for our work comes after that. We mustn't try and put our work as a means of getting into heaven. It's a means of serving the Lord. We get to heaven through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep that order correct. And then finally on this one, we're back to the whole matter when we've done everything we should and made mistakes, of course, and seek God's grace and forgiveness. We come back to where Paul speaks about himself. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. It's all down to that again in the end. No matter what we've done, no matter how well we've sought to please the Lord, it's not us, it's him working in us. And that's an amazing truth, that God is pleased to work in us in order to help us to do what he wants. Praise his name. And on the next slide we have an illustration of a Rolls-Royce car. Just to say that you're the Rolls-Royce. God made you in his image, something wonderful that he's created. You're the top of the range vehicle. And then the next picture shows us two kinds of drivers. We've got the bad one and the good one. And the point being is that we have two natures in us as believers. We've got the sinful nature and we've got God's working by his Spirit in us. And so who are we going to let run the car? Who's going to drive? It's got to be God's Spirit working in us rather than the sinful nature having its way. Otherwise we'll wreck the car and not get where we're meant to be. And then we see the sat-nav. And the sat-nav I'd like to compare to the whole of the Bible in the sense it shows us the directions, it tells us how we're to go, it points out the right ways, and that's what the Bible does. And it's an important guide for us to show us how to live for God. But with even the best car and the best driver and the finest sat-nav, we won't be able to get there unless we have the final one, which is the power in the tank, because we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to enable us to live for Jesus. And then finally, when we get to see the Lord and stand before him, he's going to say, by his grace, well done, good and faithful. And then there's a whole list of various other options that we might try to put in as options. And they're not. They're just types of service. We're all meant to be different servers in different ways, but we're to be a servant nonetheless. And the truth is, as this little old song goes, there's a work for Jesus, none but you can do. And as we seek to serve him, well, by his grace, we'll bring honour to him, we'll find lives that are useful and purposeful, and that Jesus gets the praise, because he's the one that works it all in us for his glory. Amen.